What up, everybody? Welcome back to another week of the Bar Live Barcast. It's your girl, Raven, aka Ray Rocksteady, aka Half Woman, Half Amazing. And I'm so happy to just be back here with y'all another week. Got my comrades with me. My main homie, love you, but he's out of commission. So we send in well wishes to him as he gets better. But I'm going to introduce the rest of the cast for this week. So we got my guy, El Dottie. What's good, baby?
Hey, Ray, what's good, though? Shout out, we out here, man. How you doing?
I'm doing good.
Hey, man, shout out. Make sure you drink your third flu and shit, man. You over here feeling under the weather and stuff, man. Make sure you get your third flu in. Listen,
get you some soup, B.
Right, so get you some soup, B. Be all right.
Who else we got? Who else we got in this thing?
Juicy fruit.
Oh, there it is. Ooh, okay.
There it is. Yeah, so we're going to just start this thing off. You know, we would be remiss if we didn't start with our drink of the day. Let Larry go ahead and quarterback that thing. What we got?
Oh, yeah, man, because, you know, I'm not the heaviest of, like, hard liquor drinkers, man. I do drink, you know, I probably drink liquor more socially, but I do prefer a good beer. So we're going to, you know, have a little change of taste today. I got a beer that me and Shy reviewed before. It's called the Wicked Weed Brewing Company. Milky cookies. Oh. To get some milky cookies. So, the milky cookies is 8.7 ABV. That's alcohol by volume, in case you didn't know. And I'm going to go ahead and give it a pour. I remember the last time I had this, it was actually kind of tough because I think this is a stout. So a stout is more of like the beers that have like, you know, coffee flavor, dark chocolate, and, you know, just those like those other, I would say a little bit more heavy substance, you know. So last time I tried it, I'm not the biggest fan of stouts, but maybe it grew on me. So we're going to give it a pour. And just so y'all know, when you pouring a beer into a cup, you got to pour it to the cup and not into the beer. You know what I'm saying? So you do that by tilting the glass. And you'll see at your bars when they got the little, when they got the draft beers, they'll tilt the cups and all that stuff. And that's just to make sure you get as little fizz as possible. You know what I'm saying? And
it that's purple.
Yeah, the junk, look, it's dark. This is dark.
Like Coca-Cola.
These stouts are different, man. The stouts are different. So that's what it looks like. It's very dark. You can't see through it at all. You know what I'm saying? It got a very thin head on it, Pauls. The head is nothing but the foam part, you know. Gotcha. So sometimes when you pour, if you pour into the beer, the foam will be a little thicker. You know, if you do a pretty good pour like I did, usually have a thin head on it. You know what I'm saying, Pauls? But yeah, and we're going to go in for the, I'm going to smell it. Oh, let me see. Oh, my God.
Does it smell like milk and cookies or does it smell like beer?
Not your typical milk and cookies. No, it don't smell like milk and cookies. Let me try to play. Like, I'm about to say not.
I mean, does it like smell sweet?
No. It smells.
I like the vocabulary teaching me because I don't know these words.
Yeah, it smells very I don't even know how to really explain it. To be honest with you, it smells like soy sauce.
Oh, snap.
Yeah, it give me like a soy saucy, kind of salty, like kind of sauce smell.
So it don't smell barley.
Yeah, like the worst parts of it to me, in my opinion, because I don't do stouts. I think there was once, no, I prefer, this is a stout, I prefer, god dang, what's the, shit. Okay, I can't remember right now, but it's another type of porter. I prefer porters because porters typically have more flavor. You know what I'm saying? I remember tasting it was Shriners. What's the thing you make over the fire? You know, s'mores. Yeah, it was a s'mores flavored beer. So I was expecting it to be, you know, very like distasteful. So once when I gave it a try, I was like, oh, the way they blended the s'more, like you could taste it. It tastes like Hershey's versus like raw dark chocolate. Have you ever had raw dark chocolate? Like, yeah, it's bitter, very bitter. You know what I'm saying? And this is what stouts remind me of. I'm going to
taste that thing. Taste it. We need a live review.
Oh.
I already don't like it. That face.
It's rough going down, man. I ain't going to lie to you. Yeah. It's full of, I taste that dark chocolate. Ooh, let me see what they got in here, man. I ain't going to lie. I wasn't a fan the first time I drank it. And I'm definitely not a fan the second
Still
time.
Still not a fan.
Yeah. Listen,
I'm keeping it light, too. I got a Red's Apple Ale
Okay,
cider.
There you go.
This is about as far as my beer journey as I get.
Yeah, a lot.
Unless there's no other options, and then I will take a candy Corona.
Okay.
But make it super hard on the candy.
Super
candy. Or I need a Blue Moon, but I need my orange in there.
Put a couple of them in there. Yeah, okay. Yeah.
Or Yingling, okay, but that's if there's no other options.
Yeah, I got it. That's only because you know of no other options. I got to put you on, Ray. I guarantee you there are beers out there that you would be able to, you know, sit and digest with. You just got to be open to it. And I got a few flavors in my brain that I'm pretty sure you'll enjoy. You know, so you got to be open to it. But they got. Golden raisins, cinnamon, and vanilla in here. I mean, and it sounds good. And they tricky you with that picture right there because the beer don't even look like that. You see how golden that looks?
Yeah, that's wild. Listen, we're going to roll right into Blackout.
Blackout.
Okay. And I think it would only be appropriate this week if, since we spent so much time on beer, Larry, you eloquently broke down that Milk and Cookies stout. I want to shout out Mac Brewing, Black-owned brewery based out of Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Dave Mack doing his thing, making his bones in the brewery space as a Black man entrepreneur. So shout out Mac Brewing.
Shout out to Mac.
Yeah, my man Philly Mac, and I think I'm a double back on that, man. Shout out to Philly Mac, man, because Mac Brewing Company definitely, you know, they do their thing every time they bring a brew to the scene, and you know, y'all can always go and make sure y'all order something off Mac Brewing Company, you know, and you know, shout out to Mac Philly, holla at me.
So my blackouts, I'm wearing this hat. Bull okay. City versus everybody. Shout out to Bull City Apparel in Durham, North Carolina. You know what it is. Bull City, bang, bang. Oh, wait, let me do one more. Don't take me off yet. Pammy shirt. All faith, no fear. Make me some more shirts, Pammy. Thank you. I'm done.
Yeah, Pammy.
Make us some shirts.
Shout out to the 919. I lived there for 2 years before I moved to Charlotte.
Well, I'm feeling nervous with all y'all gang signs around me.
Don't be nervous.
God, you see, I love y'all ladies. Shout out to y'all.
Look at
this.
Jerick, I think we're running the train, ain't we?
Oh, my virgin ears.
I just want to rough that. Okay. Let me slow down. Let me stop.
Hey, because on the camera, like I'm looking at y'all. Get me out of here.
God, see what happens when you leave me? This is why I need you, bro. But anyways, we was talking about good beer. You know what goes right along with good beer? Football. The game on Monday. National championship. Georgia versus TCU. I don't even know why we bothered to watch. I took time out my day to watch this game. It was anticipated. First of all, I don't even know what TCU is. I never even heard of that team, but they were 13-1. They made it to the national championship. And I had to ask questions. I was like, this the real college championship, right? Like how, like when Clemson be playing Alabama or like when Georgia play Alabama or Clemson, like they were like, yeah. And I was like, well, who is TCU? these poor children,
that's crazy.
No, them babies got they behind, like I felt bad for them because why
tell us
because why how Georgia ran up a check, okay? No, no mercy.
Oh my God. Man, look, I didn't watch the whole game, but I tuned in like kind of early. Like I just turned to the channel because it was on everything. And I was like, you know, I'm going to check in and see what's going on. I think it was like the second quarter, like early in the second quarter. It was like 24-7. I was like, that don't look pretty, man. So I'm going to go ahead and find something else to watch real quick because I don't want to sit here and watch three boys get their butt whipped. And then, Ray, you said it was – hold on. What was the final score?
The score was 65-7.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
And Georgia had 65 points with 7 minutes left in the fourth quarter. So they could have easily gone the distance, but I think they just was
Hit the hundo. We ain't going to do it to them.
Yeah, the Georgia coach, when they did the halftime little interviews, he was like, yeah, the other team's having a slow start. We break out during the first half and then our second halves are basically trash. He was like, TCU, they're known for their second half comebacks. So we just got to keep up what we're doing. And I'm thinking, okay, yeah, these boys are going to come out. They're going to be like, ain't no way we beat it here by the grace of God.
Yeah.
We'll get it together and put some stops. Man, the little white boy quarterback that basically is the great white hope, he was throwing Hail Marys. It was like the Lord said, this is your time to shine, Moses. Let my people go.
What if it really wasn't Moses' time to shine? You ever thought about that? Because you out here, Georgia is a big school. You know what I'm saying? They are pretty much known for football up there with up there with your Alabamas and all that. Yeah, see, that Moses looked like he's destined to fail. Because I don't remember no white Moses.
No white Moses.
That's another, you know, episode, I guess. But yeah, that's the great white hope right there. You know, what happened if the ocean actually went down on all those people like it did on TCU, man? Yeah. They went in there, they showed up. You got to give them kudos for showing up, man. Because No. I mean, well, they rode on the bus. If they didn't ride on the bus there, they definitely rode on the bus on the way back. Because TCU ain't about to pay for those 65-7 ass women on the national stage. But goddamn, TCU arrived at the game. They were there. They put something on the board. You know what I'm saying? But Georgia just came in. You know what I'm saying? Got suited up. You know what I'm saying? Went out there. Everybody grabbed a chair. Everybody took a player from TCU, put them over their lap.
You know what I'm saying? Didn't break a sweat. They convinced. They didn't break a sweat.
They was out there chilling, huh? They was out there having practice.
They played themselves. It was special teams versus the real team.
Special teams versus the real team.
We bet they played themselves.
My God, that's ridiculous, man. That's a national championship, bro. Championship.
TCU was 13-1, though.
Yeah, so they're better off letting Smith go out there and give it a try.
They got it.
You know, I got canceled last week. I got called a racist for what I said. But if they had them Florida Dogs
TCU, they got the Florida Dogs.
Florida Dogs. Bet you that school would look a little different.
Yeah, with Ed Reed and all that. Yeah, they would have told him up out the frame. I bet you. That's Who the fuck is TCU? Okay. People got blown out of the water, man. That's ridiculous. How would you feel after something like that? How would y'all feel? Like, you go up to the game, you 13-1. You like, you know what? We got a real chance to beat these guys. We're the underdogs. Everybody is thinking that we're going to, you know what I'm saying? Like, how would y'all react to that getting blown out? See, you basically supposed to quit the game after it got to, like, 24, 28.
You can't go home. I thought they were going to end the game in the third quarter when it was at 57-7. I was just like, do they still play? And everybody was like, yeah, like, they have to play until the clock's zero. And I'm like, that's wild. There's clearly no way that these kids can win. Like, at this point, they're not even men. They are children. This is Pop Warner versus
NFL. That's what I'm saying. She put these kids.
It was Pop Warner. It was Luke, Uncle Luke's little Florida team, Liberty City, the boy was them kids.
Call them out.
Mm-hmm. If it was them, it would have been a fight. And that's the thing. It would have been a fight or it would have been a fight. Now, I mean, because you ain't about to just blow no niggas out like 65-7 and don't shit happen. We upset over here. So anything y'all do, who said losing? Hey, Jazz. Hey, shout out to you, Jazz. What's up, first of all? Losing definitely does build character. But that's not losing. That's like getting your ass whooped. That's like being chastised. That's like your mama coming in the classroom and whooping your ass in front of the whole entire class. They are always going to remember that one. That's right. Not just a losing. Losing is like, you know, 7-13 or 14 or, you know what I'm saying, 6-7 over field goal. That's losing. This is getting annihilated.
Listen,
this is some shit you do on a video game. Niggas don't run the snow up 65 in real life.
Your little baby cousin who don't know how the control works.
It quite work. Yeah. So you out there beating his ass, making him think it's him and stuff. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's messed up, bro. Why they send them boys out there? That's messed up.
We just prayers to TCU, but shout also prayers because D. Hamlin is home.
Oh,
he's down and doing much better. As you know, Buffalo Bills player DeMar Hamlin, number 3, he suffered a cardiac episode in the middle of the game last week. But listen, my God works, right? Because this young man, first of all, went from being basically dead to alive and thriving, and also all the blessings and the outpouring of love. His foundation that he was raising money for, he only wanted to raise $2,500. He ended up raising $5 million for his toy drive in Buffalo. And, you know, this is a kid who made basically league minimum, like $800,000 a year type player. I don't think he'll ever play football again, but I think his philanthropic efforts will be his next stepping stone. And I see great things for this kid's future. The Bills, kudos to them, because they decided to fully pay him out his contract, and as well as taking care of his medical bills. So I think that's wonderful. But it's good to see this brother home.
Yeah.
That's what's up.
I thought it was sweet, the cards that the children made in the schools. That was so adorable. Like, all those cards and that picture, it was an outpour of love. That was amazing.
Yeah, it's always beautiful to see, you know, when somebody gets hurt like that. And I know it's a big shock to him as well, because he's probably in the mindset of, well, hopefully, you know, he got a good background and he knows that he can, you know, do something else other than football. Like you say, his philanthropic, you know, journey might take him somewhere. You know, I'm sure he can get on the internet, do a podcast, something where people follow him, obviously, because, you know, he's become a, you know, a face sort of, you know, for, you know, it's unfortunate what happened to him, you know, having that cardiac episode. And it's crazy. That's crazy too in itself, because he's projected to be like a healthy young man, right?
Yeah. Like, I think, I don't know if the hit induced it or if he had some underlying issue.
Yeah, some health issues already or something.
Yeah. There's still not a lot of details around what happened to him. And I think it won't be any details until he says it himself, right? Yeah. I think that's his story, his journey, his 30 for 30, because I guarantee you in the next year or two, there will be a 30 for 30, because not only was this like the first time in like 30, not to pun 30, but 30 years that something like this happened, but also the fact that it's changing the structure of the NFL games and hindering or possibly hindering the Super Bowl. So this is a precedent that we've never seen before. So it's still more to come with this whole situation.
Yeah, I'm just glad it wasn't from a targeted hit too, though. You know, because those targeted hits be kind of crazy. Football is just a tough sport on the body all in general, man. But it's a whole bunch of like, because over time you literally coming in contact with somebody over and over.
Absolutely. So shout out to Jermaine Sloan. Race for Achievement is having their annual MLK event. I believe that is January 16th, the day that we observe Martin Luther King's birthday. And we will attach more details at the bottom of this podcast when it's over. But yes, Race for Achievement, annual MLK event, January 16th. I don't quite have dates and times right in front of me, but we will get that to you all.
Okay, word. That's what's up.
If you have donations, let us know. I already have some.
Okay.
Yeah, man. So, yeah, man. Shout out to DeMar, man. I wish you continued, you know, recovery, good health, man. And, you know, I'm sure you should be excited and look forward to your future endeavors, man. Wish the best for you.
All right, guys. Did any of you all watch the Golden Globes?
I'm not a big award show dude, but I heard.
So back in the day, I'm going to tell y'all, I used to live for the awards. It didn't matter what award it was. But if it was an award show, I'd be like, you know, stop the press. It's got to go. I watched a bit of it. One, I like Jerrod Carmichael, and I wanted to see what he was going to do as a host. But yeah, also rest in peace to Gangsta Boo. I don't know if anybody caught that, but
yeah.
Rest in peace to Gangsta Boo. I wanted to see what Jerrod Carmichael was going to do as a host, but I also wanted to see who won. And Jerrod Carmichael, I don't know if you all are familiar with his comedy, but
I think his show.
Huh?
When he had the TV show, I did watch the show a little bit. Yeah. That's how I'm familiar with him.
Yeah, so you know he's a North Carolina native, from Winston-Salem.
Okay.
Yes, from Winston-Salem. But he went out there and he got those white folks all the way together. Okay. Yeah. Like, listen, because apparently the Golden Globes last year didn't even air because they were on their people were boycotting because it was like the Oscars so white once again, but this time with the Golden Globes, how they had no Black people on the voting panel. No Black people were nominated last year. So this year they wanted to make a difference. Stephen Hill and Jesse Collins Entertainment, they were the producers of it. And as you probably know those names from all the BET productions because they basically run BET, produce everything over there. Stephen Hill also just married Shantae Moore, if that puts that into context for you all. So Black run production this year for the Golden Globes. Jerrod Carmichael came out, gave his monologue and got everybody together. Basically was like, I'm only here because they paid me $500,000 and I wanted the check. I would have been there too. Yeah, I wanted that check tax-free. And I'm also only here because I'm Black. But some highlights of the evening, the Queen Mother herself, Angela Bassett, won her second Golden Globe Award, but the first of its kind for a Marvel movie as Best Supporting Actress. So this is the first time that a Marvel movie has won any like top award like that, and for it to be a Black woman. I thought that was phenomenal. Then Abbott Elementary, which has had a phenomenal run these past 2 years. Great show. Absolutely love that show. Jerrica, I know being an educator, Shad, being an educator, I know that show can probably resonate with you guys. Quinta One, and my man from Everybody Hates Chris, Tyler Williams, he won. And then the show itself won too. So Abbott took home 3 awards. What else? Eddie Murphy. He got his Lifetime Achievement Award from the Golden Globes. In true Eddie Murphy fashion, he did not leave us without a laugh. So he said, there's 3 things we must do to maintain longevity in the business, in any business. It doesn't even have to be entertainment. 1, pay your taxes. How many people y'all know to get caught up by not paying their taxes? 2, mind your business.
Facts.
And 3, keep Will Smith's wife's name out your fucking mouth. You said that. You dropped the mic and left.
Word. There you go, Eddie, man. Shout out to Eddie, man. Eddie is a legend, a very legend, big legendary person. He's been in the game for a long time, man. Like, survived eras, man. It gave us like ridiculous amount of content, man. So, man, shout out to Eddie. He deserves that Lifetime Achievement Award if anybody else does, you know. And man, shout out to you know, oh, who else you said win? Angela, there it is. Yeah, Angela. Shout out to Angela for winning. Shout out for Gerard for being, you know, the host. And if my dog don't shut up. But, yeah, shout out to everybody, man. And so are we going to have, like, the real conversation? Like, based off what Gerard was saying? He was saying that he was there because he was black, right? So when these award shows who are known for being less exclusive when it comes to who wins, especially in our community, you know what I'm saying, in the black community, is this just a pacifier? You know what I'm saying? Like, are they just giving these awards the way to pacify us? You know what I'm saying? And what does these awards truly mean?
Well, I mean, that's a great question. And that's part of his monologue where he was like, it was a moral debate. Like, take the money outside of it. One, it's an honor to be there to host the Golden Globes, because the Golden Globes is the Golden Globes, right? And all the prestige and all the honor that comes along with that. Although that's the white patriarch of the Golden Globe, right? So him as a black man who's wanted, you know, you want the career, you want the accolades, but you know you're basically being used as a token. Also, Stephen Hill and Jesse Collins being asked to produce this year because they're black, you know? So, I mean, I don't know. Would he, if he wouldn't have done it, somebody else would have, right? The check. I think him acknowledging it head on and making all those white people uncomfortable. Like, Brad Pitt sat in the very front and fidgeted the whole time through his monologue. So, I mean, I think you call out the prejudice in their face. And I think you take your win and just hope for better for the future.
I don't know,
you deserve the award, right? So it's like, she deserved it. Right. Now, did they give it to her because she was black and they needed black people to win this year? That's like, I don't know. But that award absolutely should have went to her. Now, I don't know if it was because they were filling a quota or what. Right. Abbott Elementary has had a phenomenal run and they deserve all the accolades they're getting. Now, are they getting it because it's a black-led show? I don't know. But those people deserved it, right?
Right.
It's a tough call.
Yeah. And see, that's the thing. When it comes to being, when you know it's a pacifier, you know, like you say, if he wouldn't have did it, somebody else would have. We've seen many of instances at these award shows where, you know, somebody was supposed to host or somebody should have won an award or something. And then, you know, something just pops up and, you know, they somehow don't win the award or don't host, you know. And it's been a long-standing thing, just even outside of the award shows, just in life, how at a disadvantage and how much extra we got to do as a people in order to even get acknowledgement for things that we have done, you know what I'm saying, and continue to be able to do. So at what point do we, or even what's the next step for us to even like stop accepting that stuff and like be able to recognize ourselves, because we know they're not going to do it. They're not going to do anything but use us as tools against excuse me, boy, that's that beer, that stout coming out. Man, we know they're going to do nothing but use us as tools, man, to against each other, to pacify us, to make it seem like, you know, we've earned something. But the bottom line is that we haven't. We haven't earned anything. Well, we've earned something, but they're not giving us anything, you know, because a pacifier is something to keep you quiet while I go over here and continue, you know what I'm saying, this plot or this plan. So what's the next step? I mean, because all right, congratulations, all that good stuff. We talking now, though. he took the role. They paid him to take to be the host. You know what I'm saying? Is it integral for him to take it versus standing on the fact due to the past, you know, discrepancies that these award shows have had for black people? Like, do I stand on integrity and don't take it, or do I take the money? Like, what are we doing here? You know? That's what I'm saying. It's kind of tough because, yeah, you want to see Gerard, and, you know, maybe he even deserves to be there, and, you know, but
he was nominated too for his HBO special.
Okay.
You're absolutely right. That, you know, this is a question that black people will have to answer or struggle with till the end of time. Where would any of us?
It's unfortunate. That's what I'm saying.
If somebody didn't. Jackie Robinson or Jesse Owens or who else? Madam C.J. Walker, they way into the game. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. I mean, those are far off references because that they were literally the first to ever do it.
Right. But
the Golden Globes had not one black person on their voting squad until 2021.
And those are the decision makers. Those are like the legit, because it doesn't matter if you win or lose or you get the award. It's who's making the decisions to give out these awards in the first place. And if you don't have nobody to represent you, then of course you're not going to really get what you think. Because they probably didn't even see what it is that you produced in the first place. Because you're not, like, they're not looking for that. They have this preconceived notion of what black people is and what black people do, and it's not nothing that's beneficial to them in other than to exploit us for what we produce. You know what I'm saying? So they don't even really care. So because of that and all those years prior, you know what I'm saying? Not just that. What's the other, the Grammys? You know what I'm saying? All these discrepancies in these big award shows, like
Oscars, or no Oscars,
all of that. The what they call it, the Academy, the what Academy? The Academy Awards. There it is, the Academy Awards. Yeah, all that stuff. Yeah, like all that stuff is just like, yo, we like they don't even care about us. So take it away from the shows in economics, you know what I'm saying? And content and life in general, when it comes to black people, we are always being fed the crumbs and given recognition, you know what I'm saying, only to pacify us. Because if there was noise about that, it probably stopped now that, you know, they had a little bit more melanin. So does that mean that the underlying issue has stopped just because they stopped talking about it? You know what I'm saying? Or is next year they're going to, you know, switch it up again and, you know, turn it into a Latino thing or turn it into an Asian thing or turn it into even a Jewish thing. Somebody else other than black folks. You know what I'm saying? Because that's what they always do to us. That's what they always do to us. We'll say something and then, you know what, let's make it more inclusive. So, you know, black lives do matter, but let's stop Asian hate. You know what I'm saying? Black lives do matter, but let's stop Latino hate. You know what I'm saying? Black lives do matter, but, you know, you can't just talk about Jews like that. You know what I'm saying? They went through something.
But then what about us having agency and showing up for the things that we do have and own and produce? Like, nobody puts stock into the NAACP awards anymore. I remember, I started this segment how I used to love award shows when I was a kid. Like, NAACP award was, like, a major thing. Like, that was like a major award show. I mean, BET Awards, that started in 2000. And back then you could get the Beyoncés and the Jay-Z's, but now it's really just the newer artists that show up to the awards or the artists that they're highlighting for their like lifetime achievement segment. Or even now that the Soul Train Awards are back, like getting those big, powerful names, like Drake showing up to a Soul Train Award. Mm-hmm. You see, like, the power of that?
Yeah. Beyonce
showing up to the Soul Train Award because
it would be.
She's Beyonce.
It would be. It would say something. it would say something, and it would say that, you know, we're able to, you know, be efficient or recognize our own. But then, even with that, Ray, who is running this stuff? Like, we got to figure out who's running this stuff.
Which is white-owned. None of it is black anymore.
Exactly. Is it truly black-owned? It's not black-owned unless you out here creating your own network, you know what I'm saying, via the YouTubes or the social platforms, you know, that able, that allow you to do that. Because if you're still dealing with networks, you are dealing with those networks, you know what I'm saying? And that's what I think it is. A lot of people, a lot of especially celebrities who are tied in with these, you know, networks and things of that nature, you know, they've gotten accustomed to the comfortability of not having to worry about struggle or money and stuff like that no more. They just have to remain or retain a certain, you know, person in front of these people, which could be a detrimental thing too. You know, so a lot of people not going to go out there and try to start their own stuff because they already got what they, you know, what they need from the source. And that's the, I think that's one of the issues.
I subscribe to, like, support what you can. So there's Revolt, you know. Puffy still is like the primary owner of that. Now he'd be owned by a black man. You know, say what you want about Puffy and all the things, but Revolt's black from what I know right now, right? Yeah. So I support Revolt. When Tidal first came out, I bought that high ass subscription and I didn't have it to buy. But, you know, I was like, I'm in it. Now I don't know if it's all so much black like that, but but in the beginning I was there. I mean, I guess we just do what we can until we can. But forget about winning the race for right now. Let's get to the ratchet.
Oh, I love a little ratricity.
Your boy, Frito Bang. I think he went out and lived, I guess, every man's dream. He went and got, he found a lesbian married couple, mm-hmm. and became their like their male partner and begat children with them. They're a prominent YouTube, what they have a business, but they're prominent on YouTube. They're married. Based out of Miami, Florida. He said he met them in Miami. They had vibes and match. They got him even better. Got him working out. He lost weight, skin cleared up. And now he got a son. And the son got two mamas.
Are y'all looking at me because I'm the man?
You told me that. I want to know.
What do you want to know? Ask me a question. I don't know. What do you want me? It's so much that's into that. But what do you want to know specifically? Like, what do you want to know, right? Is that every man's dream?
There's so many, because like I want to know, like, did he have both of them or just one? Do he gotta pay child support?
Okay, because so married. Yeah, let's walk through it now. Let's break it down. Let's go into it. If they're married, what do you mean by did he have one? He had to have both of them. He had both of them. No, both of them, they...
Interesting.
Both of them, they his now. He are tied to these women forever. So did both have a baby?
Okay. So the tea that they gave today... So let me go back. The first tea was that Frito Bang was a donor to a lesbian couple.
He was a donor. Okay.
So then it came out over Christmas that he acknowledged that he was a father, but he's only father to the new little baby that's like 2 months old. The older kid, which if you all are looking at the picture, the mom that's holding this older baby, she had that baby.
That's Fredo's. Is that Fredo's?
That's not Fredo's baby. I don't know where they did IVF or they what she called it IUI. They did IUI.
But that's not Fredo's baby.
That's not Fredo's baby.
The other one who's pregnant, that's Fredo's baby.
She had Fredo's baby. The baby's name is Peyton. Now, I did not know. This is my first time seeing this picture of that young lady pregnant. Because she presents masculine to me, Jerrica. Definitely presents like she's giving Butch Queen. I thought the other mother had the other baby too. I didn't know she carried this time. Clearly, I think they went about it the old-fashioned way.
The old-fashioned donor way? Like, you're a donor, yes. But did you, do it the old-fashioned way?
Even turkey basting thing.
Okay, so turkey basting is the old-fashioned. I thought fucking was for some reason. But, all right.
Yes. Penetration intercourse is old fashioned, and then you got turkey basted.
Then you got turkey basted, and then you got technology. Okay, I just had to see where you was at with that. The turkey.
We got no money, you turkey base.
Yeah, you got turkey base or old fashioned, whichever one. Typically old fashioned. But so we're saying that he was an old fashioned donor for just one. Okay. Well, that's not as bad as getting both of them pregnant. Because, I mean, look here, man. You can't be out here just knocking these women up. The aesthetics look good. The aesthetics look great. You know what I'm saying? Yo, you got you two women, and you know what I'm saying? They already married, so they bringing you in, which kind of makes you expendable, too. But you can't go in there and get both of them, you know what I'm saying, knocked up. It's just too much liability you put in it. Bruh. Bruh. The turkey baster. Yo. Cut it. I'm making that thing juicy. Goddamn, you shooting up the club with it now. Hell nah, I can't be turkey back. I can't be we need to do it the old fashioned way if I'm paying for this baby. Look, you can't go in there and get both of them. You know what I'm saying? Hey, well, shout out to my man Cheese. What's good, Cheese? Now, you can't just go in there and get both of them pregnant. It sounds a little bit better because he only got one pregnant. You know what I'm saying? But the liability on this man, because anything can happen. They're together. They're married. So you are like, you know, although they done did all this, got you working out and stuff and all that stuff, man, you don't know who people are until their emotions get involved with some shit. You need to, so once when he starts to go back doing his, you know, because he's an artist, right? So once when he started to go back doing his artist shit, he out of here doing this and that, what are they going to make of the situation after that? So on the front end, it looks cool. Every man's dream to have two married women. You know what I'm saying? But once when we get past that shit, well, now what? And that's the part I want to see. Now what?
Child, I just wish him luck because now he indirectly got two baby mamas to deal with, even though he only got one baby.
Right.
You know, so, I mean, I pray that they don't stress this man out. He look happy. I don't even know if they're.
Yeah, that's because he's still trying to. It hasn't all settled down on the man. Find out how old is Fredo Bang Man? Can we find out how old
he's
is
like 24, 25.
Yeah, young man. He don't understand it quite yet. Just look good right now. You know what I'm saying? Like, it looks good. Yo, you got two beautiful women. They're pretty. They seem, you know, I mean, they're in bikinis.
They're established.
They appear natural in that picture. You know what I'm saying? Two beautifully natural, you know what I'm saying, black women. It looks good, dog. I ain't gonna cap. Shout out to you, my nigga. But yo, like, when you start to put like babies involved in that, man, like, do you not know that women are going to dominate that every time? So even if you fuck up, you are now treading on thin ice, my nigga. And don't lose none of that money, because they gonna come get that shit. You know what I'm saying? You think they over here didn't plot on your ass to bring you into their shit? Man, look at they probably ran, yep, because that looked like this situation. You know, I got too much. I think Ray called it a train, so they ran a train. You know, I think it was a reverse train, though. You can't just say a train, because train automatically say, like, a lot of niggas. You gotta like.
I mean, that girl is the masculine.
She's
still a woman though. She got pregnant. You can't take all that masculine shit out the window once when you got knocked up. You are no longer masculine. You have displayed a feminine trait.
Crap in him.
I don't care, my nigga. You can try to be masculine as you want to be. You cannot be mad. That's like when I heard Young M.A. got pregnant. I was like, yo. That's what they said. And when I heard that, I was like, that Young M.A. like the realest nigga out here.
Ooh.
You can't be out here getting the realest nigga pregnant, dog. You just can't do it. And that's what I'm saying, bro. You're now Heffany. You came out here being Heffany. Who was the caboose in the train? All right, so which one is the caboose? The caboose is the front, the back one. It should be Fredo.
The Waves was definitely the caboose.
Hey, nah. She I know.
She did the Fabio.
The Fabio. Hey, she did not do the Fabio to Fredo. She said, come on, ride this thing. Ride this thing. Goddamn, they did missionary on my man. No, dog. No. It can't. No, it's not that.
Well, listen.
I had to meet my shit, but yeah, look. Okay, so right. It looks good on the front end. I'm interested to see what's going on the back end. I'm going to choose to believe that my man Fredo, you know what I'm saying, he handled that situation the way he needed it to handle it. You know what I'm saying?
If he did, he wouldn't even be in this situation. Because who would be?
That's
upset or not?
That's a fact. Like, he looked happy on the surface, and like I say, the aesthetics look good. Whoever was the caboose in that situation, you know what I'm saying? Like, the aesthetics still look good. But under the aesthetics, you know what I'm saying? Let's get under the makeup, the real of it. What is the situation gonna, they say, but that what they say, huh? She look like she got some fire.
You know what, Trey? Listen. Now it's time for your baby's mama's. mama's. Your lesbian baby mama's.
I got it.
Cousin. Two baby daddies without one baby who ran a trade. And then the landlord.
But it's two babies. It's two babies in the pictures. Two babies in the pictures.
One yours. One mama and three men.
Two babies, favorite. One mama and three men.
Favorite part of the show, the bar. Yay! Okay, this week it was crazy in the blogs all over the place. Who was wrong? Big Scar's family versus Gucci Mane, the flair. I need to give backstory and some context. Oh, I'm here.
Accidental
overdose and.
Hold on, Ray. Ray, you went out for a second. Ray, you got it. Start over. What happened?
Okay, yes. So Big Scar, he was signed to Gucci Mane's label. Passed away from an accidental overdose. Gucci then texted the family saying he would pay for the services, and he also wanted the young man's chains back. His, I think 1017. Is that Gucci? Help me out. What's Gucci's label? Was it 1017?
I believe it's 1017, yeah.
Okay. Gucci's Brick Squad, right? I be getting all the little Atlanta people
met. Brick Squad, 1017, Gucci shit.
Yeah. All right. He wanted the chains back. The family then came and said Gucci didn't do anything and telling that he wanted the chains back. Gucci's wife then showed receipts how they paid $10,000 directly to the funeral home and then another $10,000 directly to the
All right, yeah. So It sounds like what? Well, all right, Ray. There you go. You went out one more time. Her name what? Keisha K O Keisha. So receipts that they paid $10,000 to the funeral home directly, and $10,000 to what else?
For flowers.
Okay. Gotcha. So what your question is, who was right or who was wrong?
Or just like, what do you take on the situation, basically? Who is the family warranted to say that Gucci didn't pay for the funeral because he only spent $20,000 when the funeral cost $60,000?
Okay, so funerals are expensive. You know what I'm saying? The real question is, why didn't y'all have life insurance on them in the first place, which would have covered the funeral expenses? So the onus is not on Gucci to have to pay it, you know what I'm saying? And he put something on it, you know what I'm saying? $20,000 if the receipts are real. I don't know what's real and what's not. They saying that receipts are being shown of him paying the money to the funeral home and paying for the flowers. You know what I'm saying? If that is true, that is an honorable thing to do. You know what I'm saying? But as the family, you can't depend on somebody outside of that to take care of what's a family matter in the first place. So if he wasn't with Gucci and all that stuff, like, now what would you be saying? You know what I'm saying? That's why it gotta be some responsibility.
One of the issues they said that Gucci said because it was Keisha's birthday that he wasn't gonna do more. But he said he was gonna pay for it, but because it was her birthday, he was gonna do more. He wasn't gonna do more. In my mind, I still feel like, okay, like Larry said, you can't depend on him to do everything for y'all. I think the problem came when he asked for the chains back. Like, why you want your chains back? Now, if you ask me, that's why I would be like, if Gucci really asked for his chains back, that is kind of an issue because it was this man's property. If you gave it to him, I don't see a problem with the family having it, because maybe that's, you know, a symbol of him being around, you know what I'm saying?
Or they're going to sell it.
Or they're going to sell it, but still, I mean,
all in the pictures with the chains,
you know. So like, yeah. I don't see why he would ask for him back. I do agree though, like, you don't have to depend on him to pay for everything, because I mean, you don't idolize this man. You probably do because he was given at the time, but
yeah, he was given the opportunity, which is understandable,
right?
You know, but you know, you can't like, just because he said he was going to do something at any moment, because he has no true reason to have to do anything. So at any moment, he could change his mind, just like he did. You know what I'm saying? And maybe he had his own reasons for whatever it is. But I feel like if you say you're going to do something for somebody, you know what I'm saying, you should do it. And if you can't, you should communicate that and do what you can. Which is what I feel like he did. And
ain't gonna lie, $10,000 worth of flowers ain't even worth all that. You could have gave them that money, because somebody gonna bring flowers.
Put that on the tab. Yeah, you could put that on the tab. Have somebody else do the flowers. Right. You know what I'm saying? But you know,
I get what you're trying to do. You got the 1017 in flowers.
Yeah,
so that's what they bought. The 1017 was the flowers.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, but nah, like, you could have gave them that money, or did something else with that money instead of the flowers.
Yeah, and as far as the chains, though, I think you should let them keep the chains too.
Just let them keep the chains. Like, it is what it is.
Yeah.
You won't wear
it. Because what are you gonna do? Give somebody this dead man's chains?
Right.
I don't want no dead man.
Right.
Like, I'm the next artist coming in the 1017, and now I got big scar chain, and he probably died in these chains. Now these chains haunt it. No. Now I gotta go to a Baba Lao to get these chains blessed.
Right.
Melt this down and make me some new chains.
Yeah, that's a fact, man. That's a fact. Man. Yeah, that's what I think about that, man. It was a good gesture to have done it, to have done anything, because I'm pretty sure it's a lot of people that they know ain't really doing much. You know what I'm saying? So you can't ask nobody to pay for the whole expenses. I understand that they said they would, but people renege all the time, and you gotta be prepared for that. You know what I'm saying? That's still on you. And 60 grand is that's
little guys.
Yeah. I know, I'm just about to say 60 grand is a lot, you know what I'm saying? So, but yeah.
We just gonna pray for all parties involved. This has been another great episode here at the bar, and I just do want to give further information. Feeding Our Neighbor for Achievement MLK Day of Service 2023, Monday, January 16th at 2 p.m. Be close proximity to the Urban Ministry and Men's Shelter in Charlotte, North Carolina, 2 p.m. January 16th. Come out and support, help, volunteer. Monetary donations will be accepted at via Cash App at $R4A. Donation, okay, Race for Achievement donation, R4A donation. But yes, like, comment, and subscribe. It's been another fabulous week with you all. Toast to it.
Toast to it.
Hey, shout out to y'all. Man. And real quick, right?